Daniel 9. Well, let's read. Where did we stop in Daniel? We don't want to go to 9 yet. Let's just start chapter 2 again. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. And the Chaldeans, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till a time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof.
What does till the time be changed
mean? Well, they're begging for time. They're just stalling.
To get out of the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one that...
Come back to me, King.
Right. No, till the time be changed, that's like the Levite's prayer daily.
We'll get back to you.
Now, if I understand this, the king had a dream, but he can't remember the dream.
Right.
So these other folks...
He just knows it was poopy.
Yeah, they're going to remember the dream and interpret it. Otherwise,
you know, he's saying if they don't, then the king's going to cut them in pieces.
Right.
Yeah. So it's sort of, again, remember, this is real important because... In this time, if a man spake and said, I speak as from God, if exactly what he said doesn't come to pass 100%, he was killed. His children were killed. His wife and family and all descendants were killed. So that there would be no possibility that his seed could continue. So any relative of his, no matter how far back, was killed.
And that is if he claimed to speak.
If he said, thus saith the Lord, or God has revealed to me that you're going to be healed of cancer if you send me $1,000. If it didn't happen, he was dead.
And his family.
His house was a dunghill.
That's another thing. You're mixing your metaphors. And all of the writings that he had ever written, and everything that he had ever written or said was destroyed from the face of the earth as if he had never lived. So it's really, you got rid of prophets kind of quick. And here we're going to get rid of sorcerers and dream interpreters and New Age guys. Okay. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such thing of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. I mean, these are the demands that you have to make on yourself. These are the demands of truth. This is the just demand of truth. your mind is continually trying to, you know, slough it. To try to, the thing is gone from me. I need a little more time. This isn't the right time yet.
But I'll think about that tomorrow.
I'll think about that tomorrow. I'll get back to you, mind. And so you live with slop for a brain. You never bring anything to a head. You never demand truth of yourself or others. So you never know what you believe. You believe in smoke. There's this great quote. This isn't a lawsuit now, right? This is our attorney's response to Tilton's lawsuit.
It's a humor.
It says...
this is Michael Lynch, right?
Yeah.
No, this is Bill Hinkle wrote this. Through the inquiry, the court learned that Tilton meant something quite different than most people would think of as a free exercise claim. Indeed, one is reminded more of the approach to language of Lewis Carroll's Caterpillar. Quote, when I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less. That's in a lawsuit. Another
in... In the last page, the one about shoveling smoke?
Oh, yeah, that's the other one. That's the one I want. Thanks, that's what I was looking for.
That's right here.
Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once observed that lawyers spend a great deal of their time shoveling smoke. Plaintiff has once again made it obvious that there is simply no fire to be found here. According to the application, et cetera, shoveling smoke. That's what we do in our minds a lot of time.
I know, I've been doing that lately.
Shoveling smoke. You've got to require truth of yourself. If you don't, you'll die. Okay, now this king... I can't tell you the. I mean, can you imagine? I come up to you and said, "Ed, I had a dream last night."
You're supposed to give me your money.
No. No, that would be easy.
Yeah.
It's troubling me now. Tell me what it meant. Well, tell me the dream, and I'll tell you what it meant. Well, I forgot what I dreamt. But tell me what I dreamt, and tell me what it meant. Or if you don't, I'll cut you to pieces.
You said, okay. What was he going to say?
It's time to start making up dreams.
But here's what you do. You must do. You must demand that same of self, or else take self to the cross. If your self can't meet that requirement, then your self must die. You might be crucified with Christ, and that you live in the abandonment of self, and that you cast down every imagination. Capiche? Is it starting to dawn on you? I've had a lot of meetings today. Is it starting? I mean, and I've said it several times today, but is it starting to dawn on you that nobody really cares what you think, including you?
Yes.
And then all this self-analysis and all of the psychobabble and all the new age care bears in the universe are not going to meet the demands for truth. That the only one is to pick up your cross and abandon yourself. That means right now, abandon yourself, pick up your cross. That means think no thought for anything. And take never again a thought about yourself, whether it's right or wrong. And that every time the temptation is to think about self, that you slay it. That's all the book of Daniel is about.
Are you able to do that?
Huh?
Are you able to do that?
You're just as well as you're able to do it. The only difference between you and I is I repent faster. I know the vanity of any of my thoughts or any of my ideas or any of my plans. And the instant one comes, I say, this is stupid.
I don't quite understand.
The moment you stop worrying about understanding, you would. Anything that's a gain to you is a loss to Christ. What things were gained to me, I found they are lost to Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but he emptied himself. And the emptying of self is the act of abandonment of self. Now if you can't do it, then you have to push it to the wall and not stop at any smoke. You know, you have to do whatever is necessary to take it to the end so you see the vanity of all things and the vanity of that particular thing that you're dealing with, instead of leaving it in shoveling and molding smoke. You're only really lucky when you're molding smoke. It's most of you mold and shape something else that comes out another place, but your plans, your ideas, and your opinions are at best smoke. Mine are too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying mine are any better. That's why I abandoned myself. Oh, I got this great idea today. Well, we're going to start the Only Anthony Evangelistic Association. Yeah. And I got a great idea. We'll start asking people for money so we can do things.
And we'll use the money to do good work.
And we'll do good things.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed.
We'll house homeless Martins.
Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, take no thought for your life, take no thought for tomorrow, take no thought for what you'll put on, take no thought for what you will eat, take no thought for wherewith you shall be clothed. Take no thought. Can you do that? You can do it the minute you stop trying to do it. And so life is this creative tension between all of the ideas for self-divinity, which all your ideas are. You understand?
Narrows the field.
I'll just forsake my evil ways.
Yeah, I'll keep my good ways and forsake my evil ways. That's what religion teaches. Or better yet, I will forsake the ways that anybody sees me in public and I will continue masturbating.
I'll look right. Yeah.
I just want to be all the woman that I could be that God meant me to be.
And you'd probably be darn good at it.
Huh?
I don't know what kind of dress you have.
Truly a sick man. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. To live by the faith of. It's a unique structure in the Greek tense. It can be nothing else, that I'm living by his faith, not by my own. To every man has been given the measure of faith to come to the end of yourself. But your mind, and all men's mind, want to make faith a commodity. You want to make faith something by which you get something. That's the essence of evil. And God is really pissed at that, because if you take that which is without which it's impossible to please him, and you turn it as an instrument of self-seeking, it's the perfect form of blasphemy.
Oh, would you say it again for me, please?
Say no.
Roll the tape back.
Say no.
Yeah.
I mean, faith is a commodity. No. You can't. I mean, I don't know what I just said. I'll tell you one thing I do know, though, and we've proven it here many times. I promise you the thing I said tonight will not contradict anything I said 20 years ago.
I know that to be true.
Even though I can't remember what I just said. Because it's always the same story.
Which is the real reason I make these tapes.
He's trying to see. He makes the tape to try to find. He's trying to catch me.
He sends a copy to tell his attorneys.
Well, I know what you're saying about this mind game and smoke going on, because there have been a couple issues that I've I try to corner and pin down, and it just gets so enormous and so difficult for me to even look at that my mind simply dismisses it and says, I can't go any farther with this. It is too enormous.
And so, but if you consider how many of those things that are existent in here, it's how many rooms full of smoke are in your mind. They're infinite. Because every time you confronted something that is a small child that you were afraid of or that you didn't understand, you put the smoke in a room and close the door. And then every time you're confronted with a heartache or a sorrow or something you didn't understand, it's too big for me, it just becomes smoke and you close the room. And pretty soon you have a mansion full of smoke rooms that you don't know why you're alive, you don't know who you are, you can answer no questions, you fall for any con, especially the religious cons.
It's like a blank tape.
Yeah. There's no there.
Yeah.
And then God comes along and
And you live in fear, constant fear and neurosis because there's a million rooms you can't look into.
Because you're afraid to look in the room. Can you imagine?
That's what makes me crazy.
To be in a state where you didn't have to fear anything, because all of the rooms had been opened. Well, that's what freedom is. The Son has made you free. You're free indeed. And perfected love has cast out all fear.
Has anyone in this room reached that state?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure Harry has. No, you never reach the state. You don't understand. You're only in an abandonment. You're either totally abandoned with all rooms open, or you're totally closed and you've given all the land back to the enemy.
It's like a couple of days ago in the newsroom.
There's not a state to reach.
Yeah, and there's not.
You can't get there from here.
Can't get there and stay there.
You can't get there unless you're either totally there now. In other words, you're either totally perfect now or you're totally screwed now.
The only thing you're going to learn is that you're going to repent faster. You'll see who you are. Oh,
yuck.
Faster.
Well, I've had instances in my life where I was, for a moment, free of fear. But I couldn't stay there. Is that what you're talking about?
You couldn't stay there because you're trying to grasp that moment.
Yes.
And anytime you try to grasp it, then you're trying to pollute the kingdom of God.
I'd be willing to bet you that that moment was a surprise.
Yes.
So you didn't do anything to achieve it. It was serendipity.
Exactly.
Well, that's what the mystery is. That's what this whole Bible is about, which you just described. That one moment.
What is it to release into the mystery?
It's to abandon yourself to that which is finished. There's nothing left to do. The foundation, it was finished before the foundation of the world. All that's necessary is for our minds to be renewed to see that finishedness. And time has been, in effect, waiting for a group of people to see that it's finished. Nothing left to do. And Christ perfected that. That's why he said, it is finished. Your mind can't stand that. Your mind can't stand to know it's finished. Because if it's finished, you don't have anything to do.
There's so much to do.
He's out of a job.
He doesn't have time.
He's not
needed.
I'm not necessary.
And then the only thing that's left is faith, which worketh by love. And that's why the only thing that can exist, this without a community is impossible. It's easy to say, I love God. Well, let's take in three homeless people and put them in your bedroom. See how much you love God. Well, I love God, but they're bad. Well, then you're a liar. You don't love God, you love yourself.
And it took me being here a year before I saw the truth in that.
Yeah, because everything in the universe is against us, is against this truth. Do you understand that? There's nothing. What we're talking about tonight has no allies. Not one, because it destroys self-divinity. And you've been taught to be a little God. You know, nobody else is going to tell you that you are the Antichrist. You don't have to go search for him over the 10 common market nations of Europe. And he's not. You don't have to search for him in a new temple he's going to build in Jerusalem. You're the temple, and you're the Antichrist. You have set yourself up in the temple, which is God's, and you proclaim yourself to be as God. You judge because you judge for yourself, good and evil.
I may be terribly confused. Some of what you said sounds similar to what I heard in the Course of Miracles.
A portion of the truth has been revealed in many separate places in many separate ways. I've heard a portion of it in Nazi Germany, and I've heard a portion of it in the Bhagavad Gita's, and I've heard a portion of it in Hindu, and I've heard a portion of it in Jewish church and Sufis. And there's portions of the truth all over the place. But now the fullness of the truth is come. Herein, it's a very simple test. And everybody here has heard, but you'll hear it again. Beloved, believe not every spirit or every teacher, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit or teacher that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come, and now even already is in the world. If I confess that Jesus Christ is come, then it's finished. The Antichrist confesses that he did come and that he will come, and the uninitiates, they don't know anything about it. It's real important that you understand what finishedness means. If it's finished, then you are standing tonight perfect. Right now, this instant, you are perfect. You are complete. You lack nothing. There's nothing left to learn. There's nothing left to do. Forgiven, accepted in the brethren, perfect before the eyes of God. You might believe that for an instant, but then somebody will say something to you. Somebody will question you. And the moment they question you or test you, then you go into a trip and you go in, oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm so poor me. I'm so depressed. Well, that's God. God came against you to find out whether you believed what you said you believed. And then finally, God can say to the world, the flesh, and the devil, take your best shot. Nothing in the universe can affect the peace of this vessel and this group, this body of people. Then the mystery of the bride is completed, and time shall be no more. Capisce? Verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and was very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men. Well, that's, again, you got to see this as a vessel. This is happening in you. There's competing kings going on in you. The Babylonian king is the king of cause and effect. When you mess with cause and effect, you're really messing with the big one.
How many kings are there?
Huh?
Is it five kings or is it 70 kings? Or?
Well, again, remember you're trying to.
See if I can narrow the field.
Yeah. Well, you don't. That's not what happens. What? This book, this Bible, is a series, an infinite number of word pictures that communicate one thing, and you're trying to literalize the parable, and it can't be done. And when anybody tries to literalize the parable, then they become a Pharisee.
Ooh.
You didn't have very far to go. Oh, I forgot. We'll get to this one of these days.
The floating week?
The floating week.
They get big guys.